KBOO News In Depth, where we take a deeper look at the top news stories impacting our community.
The annual Portland Fermentation Festival, affectionately known as Stinkfest, is back this year after a three-year hiatus due to the pandemic. The festival returns for the 11th time since it started in 2009, this Thursday, October 19th from 6 to 9 p.m. at EcoTrust's Irving Street Studio and Rooftop Terrace in Portland's Pearl District. We hosted the festival organizers Liz Crane, Heidi Nessler, and Claudia Lucero, collectively known as the Stinkfest Queens, for a preview of the 10th annual event in 2019. And we're fortunate to have two of the queens here with us today, Liz and Heidi. Thanks so much for coming into KBOO, bearing samples of some of the treats you'll be featuring at the festival. And Claudia, if you're listening, we miss you.
Oh, thanks for having us on, Ken.
Yeah, thank you.
Well, Liz, let's start with you. You were one of the organizers of the very first Portland Fermentation Festival in 2009.
Yeah.
How did it come together? It was a much smaller fermentation community at the time, wasn't it?
It was. A couple friends and I decided that we wanted to have something where we could gather everyone together, a lot of amateur makers, and kind of open up the world of fermentation to Portlanders. And it went really, really well. And Heidi's been a part of it from year one as
yeah.
well. But we had a line around the block, and kids always have gotten in for free, so kids 12 and younger, lots of young, hungry to ferment and sample ferment kiddos there. Yeah.
Now, fermentation has been around for thousands of years. Not only has it brought us healthy and tasty things to eat, but it's been essential in preserving foods before the age of refrigerators and freezers. When I posted on social media about the festival, a friend commented, "Isn't the correct term for fermentation when applied to anything but yogurt, beer, wine, and kombucha?" He's got a very narrow view there, called rotting. And I would say the chemical process is similar, but the results are very different.
Right. I think that you do get a lot of like textural changes and flavor changes. Even the color of foods change as they ferment. But, you know, I think that most people would attest who've been to the fermentation festival, that process makes things more delicious. And so it's not a yucky rotting thing, although there are some acquired flavors for a lot of the foods that are fermented. And that
I
folks
know that's
can
true
try.
With some cheeses yeah. I've had. But you know, it's a matter of taste.
Exactly.
It won't kill you.
Yeah.
That's for sure. Now, Heidi, this is the first festival since 2019.
Yeah.
You took a break, the festival did, during the pandemic. When did you, Liz and Claudia, make the decision to bring it back this year?
You know, we looked at that each summer, I think we were kind of, or even earlier in the spring, we were checking
yeah.
in, and does this feel like the right time? And I think it just felt like, you know, it was time to bring it back, and so excited to be back. Oh, my gosh.
Now, there are a few changes for this year's festival. It's basically the same location at Portland's EcoTrust Conference Center, but you have a bigger space, I read, much bigger, actually twice as big as
yeah.
as 2019.
Yeah, so we'll be on the ground floor, so it's, you know, easier to get in and out, and there's going to be a little more space. If anybody's been to a past festival, it was like we're all tucked in like sardines. So yeah, there'll be a little more space, and we'll still have all the goodies on the rooftop.
Oh, yeah, we'll talk about that.
Yeah,
yeah, there's
yeah.
been quite a bit
so
going on
changed.
The rooftop
yeah.
terrace.
Yeah.
Does the extra space open the door for more exhibitors and events this year? I know you've added at least one event. That's the bacterial petting zoo, which I've got to ask you about.
Petting zoo, yes, indeed. Yeah, and we just have, you know, we really wanted it to feel comfortable for people after COVID. So it's really about having more space and more places to mingle and try the ferments. So, yeah.
I feel like in the past, Ken, like it's always sort of, I call it butt to butt and elbow to elbow at the festival.
It was that dance.
Yeah, I mean, it's just really up close and personal. And while we do want to still foster that hugging and everyone being in the same space and sampling the foods, like we want people to be able to have a little breathing room too.
Yeah.
Respectful of
yeah.
how they're feeling these
exactly.
days.
Exactly.
You know, they
yeah,
want to
yeah.
be
very
in a big
so.
Crowd or kind of off by themselves.
Yeah.
yeah.
You're also bringing back two of the most popular attractions, the DIY fermentation station And I love the names, the Starter Barter Culture and Adoption Center, which, I mean, just kind of rolls off the tongue. Can you talk about those and some of the other special events planned?
Yeah, those are both. I'm really excited about them. So People's Co-op always sort of sponsors our event in terms of giving us produce for that fermentation station. And in the past, we've had, you know, you can get up to the table and make your own sauerkraut to take home and then ferment at home. And this year we're having dilly beans. So they've donated a bunch of green beans and we'll have them, you know, trimmed and rinsed. And then like kids and adults can kind of saddle up and get their jar and put the spices in and then take home something to, you know, ferment on the countertop for the next several days or possibly a couple weeks, depends on how funky you want those beans to be. But also, yeah, the Starter Barter and Adoption Center, that one's really fun. I kind of stink right now, like vinegar, because I was putting together all of my vinegar mothers and kombucha mothers for people to take home. So it's right, you bring whatever you have. You have a sourdough bread culture, you have water kefir crystals, you have whatever these cultures are that make these delicious foods. Then you can bring extras because they do reproduce. You can bring extras and then people can take what they want home and hopefully they're empowered to then, you know, make that ferment at home.
So it's a great way to get started with fermenting your own foods.
Yeah, exactly. And I think of all the folks that took up sourdough baking during the pandemic, if they have an abundant amount of sourdough starter, this is the place. Just label it also in the little Ziploc bag we know what to do with it. Yeah.
Now, Liz, you always have special guests at the festival, all luminaries in the world of fermented food. Remember 2019, you hosted David Zilber, who's in charge of fermentation at Noma in Copenhagen, which was named the best restaurant in the world four times, I think.
Yeah.
maybe again since 2019. You know, I didn't check.
Oh, and, well, they close the doors. So now, but they are doing a lot of research and development and products and all kinds of
the
really
restaurants.
Interesting. Exactly.
Wow, I didn't know about that. Oh.
But anyhow, yeah, he was a wonderful. Oh, his talk was so great and inspiring and. And I think you were leading to Kirsten Schocke.
I was going to say, true to form, this year's guest is another star in the fermentation world, at Kirsten, who actually doesn't have to come all the way from Denmark.
Right.
She lives in Southern Oregon.
Southern Oregon, yes. That's correct.
Yeah, we're really excited for her to come up. And what we do with all of our, you know, honorary guest speakers like Sandor Katz and David Zilber and Kirsten is just sort of say, we roll out the sparkly green carpet and just say, talk about whatever you want, whatever you're excited about, because that will, you know, excite all of the attendees. So I know a little tiny bit of what she's planning to talk about.
Can you tell us, or is that kind of giving away too much?
Yeah, on her social media, she posted a ferment, an achar, like a South Asian kind of mustardy, pickly thing that she was fermenting and was going to talk about. So I think that's just one of many things that she'll have as topics.
And she'll be giving the keynote at 6 o'clock.
Exactly.
And that will be followed by a Q&A session.
Exactly. Yeah. Yes. 6 to 7 is all Kirsten Schocke and her wisdom and all of that. And then after that, we have all sorts of things planned that we've mentioned. There's a really fun Japanese participatory like fermentation dance that's going to happen, like a Hakka Bon Adori dance, and that will happen after Kirsten's talk.
Will that be on the rooftop terrace?
That will most likely, it's going to start on the first floor, and then, it, you know, dependent on how many people participate and like how exciting it is for people, it might move out to the lobby, it might move up to the rooftop. We're kind of go with the flow, with the fermentation fever.
Yes. But, a theme of fermentation, go with the flow.
Another good idea to have all that extra room this year, too, for the dancing.
Yeah.
Now, Liz, you've authored several food books yourself, including Dumplings Equal Love, which you've talked about, Hello, My Name is Tasty, the Toro Bravo Cookbook. And you've been involved with the Fermentation Festival, you know, we said since 2009, so 15 years now. But you only recently published your first book on fermentation called Fermenter DIY Fermentation for Vegan Fare, which came out just last month. What took you so long?
Well, I don't know. That's a really good question. I feel like a lot of the books that I've worked on, though, have had ferments in them. But yeah, I just really wanted to focus on an 100% fermentation cookbook. And so Aaron Adams was also hoping to do a book.
What
and
a
so
good
we partnered
co-author.
Up. Yeah. So really just kind of thank my lucky stars how that all kind of aligned. But it's also, he will be there at the festival as one of the exhibitors, and I'm not sure what he's preparing food or drink wise to sample, but he'll be there for the book, and that's going to be fun.
And Aaron is the owner and the chef at Portland's Fermenter restaurant,
right.
which is a vegan fermented food.
Yeah. And I do feel like a lot of, like, at our festival, of course, ferments can be, you know, dairy, meat, seafood, but a lot of the ferments at our festival over the years have tended to be plant-based. So there are some outliers, but that's a way of saying, like, for it's very vegan friendly, I think, that plant-based
and
folks.
The perfect city for it. I know when I told some people about the interview we did on the cookbook, they were just excited because it was tasty vegan food, which vegans are always looking for.
Right. Yeah.
Their choices are a little bit more limited than people who aren't vegan.
One of the yummy things that will be at the festival is wampaku natto. We didn't talk about that.
I was going to talk about that.
Oh, sorry. I got ahead of you.
that's Heidi's business, wampaku natto. And that is a fermented soybean, which you discovered when you were living in Japan, Heidi.
That's right. Yeah, I really, it's a traditional Japanese ferment, and it's naturally sticky and from the fermentation. And so for many, they'll characterize it as an acquired taste. But I really loved it the first time I tried it. And that's actually been my experience when I've sampled it with folks.
And it's like, very popular. It's a breakfast food in Japan,
you
mostly?
Know, it's, yeah, it's traditionally eaten at breakfast. But really, you can have it any time of the day. Yeah. Yeah, I gave you some, so you can give it a shot.
And of course, the attendees can try the natto too
at
the festival.
Yes, absolutely. And we also really encourage exhibitors to bring some novel ferments, you know, things that if they have a company, they don't always do. So I'll be bringing a navy bean ferment that I'm preparing like baked beans on toast.
Wow.
In addition to the
Is that from Japan too? Or is that something you came up with?
No, that's what I came up with.
Wow. Innovative.
Yeah. So it's a special just for the Fermentation Fest.
Oh, that's exciting.
And of course, there'll be fermented food from all different cultures all over the world.
Yeah.
I know a lot of us associate fermented foods with Asia. And I think Aaron mentions that in the cookbook. But we also mentioned cultures like Scandinavia. I know my Eastern European roots, pickled herring, kosher pickles, things like that.
Yeah.
There's so many fermented foods from all over the world.
Yeah, I'm really excited this year. We have misos, we have tempeh. We also have Eleni's Kitchen bringing injera, the traditional soured bread, in Ethiopian cuisine.
Ethiopian, yes. You go to an Ethiopian restaurant and it's almost like a pizza.
Yes,
they have the
exactly.
big injera bread and then everything is on there.
Yeah.
And you don't get utensils, you eat it with the bread.
Right, exactly. So she'll be demoing that with some of her simmer sauces.
Africa, we're adding to Asia and of course Europe and all over the world.
And old Portland, right? That Depression era, those pickles.
We have an amateur fermenter bringing pickles, and maybe you know about these. They were very popular.
Kosher pickles?
They were sold at Meyer and Frank and Mrs. I don't know how to say her name properly, but Neuschen or Mrs. Neuschen.
I've heard of that, yes.
Yes, there's a whole cult around bringing these pickles back. And this gentleman approached me saying he had, you know, really gotten this together and wanted to exhibit them. So he'll be there too. So.
Oh, that's exciting because it's hard to get a really good kosher pickle in Portland.
Yeah.
It's not a big deli city usually. Now, Liz, while food and drink will be available for sale on the rooftop terrace, the rest of the festival is non-transactional.
Yeah.
Can you tell us what that means and why you chose that model, which is not typical for most food events?
Yeah, we really just want everyone to interact and skill share and talk to one another. And so we think that, like, getting in line to buy things sort of gets in the way of that. So our festival ethic has always been, you purchase your ticket. You can purchase them at portlandfermentationfestival.com. We still have tickets. And then once you get into the festival, though, there's nothing to be bought.
That's a good feeling.
Yeah. Except on the rooftop. You can get, you can get your Indian meal from Desi PDX and cider from Swift Cider. But on the ground level, it's just bartering, sharing, sampling, talking to each other.
Now, Liz and Heidi, you must be extremely busy with the festival coming up in 2 days. I want to thank you so much for taking time out to join us at KBOO.
Thank you so much, Kim. It's always fun to talk to you.
We've been talking with Liz Crane and Heidi Nessler, two of the organizers of the 11th Annual Portland Fermentation Festival, which takes place this Thursday, October 19th from 6 to 9 p.m. at EcoTrust Irving Street Studio and Rooftop Terrace, 721 Northwest 9th Avenue in Portland. You can learn more and purchase tickets in advance on their website, portlandfermentationfestival.com, and on the festival's Facebook page. This is Ken Jones for KBOOS News In Depth.